The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
This is Pitbull number one with Pitbull number three, the new Pitbulls 13, baby. And we're here on Perched on the Top Rope, ready to do some podcasting and kicking some ass.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, Lee Walker. And joining us today, as you heard from that show opener, we have the newly formed, reformed Pitbulls, Pitbull 1 and Pitbull 3, Gary and Chris. Guys, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Really good. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I'm super excited. First, Gary, I want to congratulate you on your new book, The Pitbull Unleashed, which was co-written with Kevin C. Davidson. How did you guys connect?
Here it is, guys. Take a look at it. I was actually at number five at one point when it came out May 3rd. Back cover, Missy Hyatt did that for me, and the forward was made by Todd Gordon. So it's an easy read. It's a good book. It tells you the history of the Pit Bulls, how we started, where we came from, and up to this point right now.
That's what was incredible. The question? How did you connect with Kevin, the co-writer with you?
I had an agent. I had an agent who introduced me to Christopher, and then we just started talking. And I mean, I was being asked to, I've been in the business 40 years, so I've been asked to do a book many times. I just never did it. He made it really easy for me, so I jumped on it. And it's a perfect timing because now that me and Chris are the new Pit Bulls, you know, which will be debuting soon, and come 2026, watch out, everybody, watch out.
Yep.
I, for one, am excited about that. And Gary, I heard you talk about this on Jasmine St. Clair's podcast. You knocked the book out in 2.5 months. I have to ask, I worked with Mr. Curtis Hughes on his autobiography, and we're still working on it. 2.5 months is really, really fast. How many hours a day was going into this book to get it out so fast?
I'm going to say 3 months probably, mm-hmm. You know, but it would be 2-hour sessions a few times a week.
Okay.
Yeah. And once the publisher, you know, once they said, you know, we want it out May 3rd, you know, they try to keep to that set date. So it worked out good.
Okay. And when did you decide that it was time to reignite this passion with the Pit Bulls and reform the tag team?
I've been wrestling singles for a while. I mean, I tug up with Balls Mahoney when he was alive, Cronus when he was alive, but we never, you know, we always kept our own names. I never brought in another Pit Bull. It's just been a long time. A lot of people have been trying to get that spot. I couldn't find anybody that deserved it or anybody who wanted to put the work in. You know what I mean? When me and my partner went to wrestling school, we went to the Monster Factory. We were there 4 nights a week. No ifs, ands, buts about it. You know what I mean? And we worked our asses off. And I'm not going to let anybody else have an easy ride in. You know what I'm saying? So Chris paid his dues, I feel, and I've been in the business since 87, 88. So he proved himself to me, and he probably still has to prove himself to other people because, you know, all the wise asses out there always have something to say. So, and he'll do that, and it won't be a problem. So I'm very happy.
Awesome. And Chris, this question's for you. I heard that, you know, through other interviews, you had looked up to Gary, you had looked up to Anthony and the Pit Bulls. What was it like for you when it came to training? You know, you got to train with some pretty, pretty good trainers out there, with Handsome Jimmy V, Chris Blackheart, and even with Gary himself. So, you know, what was that experience like, you know, breaking into training and being able to break into the business?
Yeah, so yeah, God, I did look up to the pit bulls when I was growing up, and it was sad because my senior year in high school, Anthony had passed away, and he had actually passed away not too far where I lived, in Connecticut. He's not from Connecticut; he's from New Jersey area, you know. So it was very hard for that to happen when I was a kid. It's reassuring and wonderful to find this out now as I'm an adult, and it kind of gives purpose to me and for whatever everything that I've always wanted to do in wrestling. So when I had a chance to originally train with Chris Blackheart when I was younger, and this was way back, probably around 2000, I'd say around 2009, that's when I originally got trained. It was a great experience, and I wrestled under a different gimmick, and I then got trained by Jimmy Valiant and Susan Tex Green. I went back to Jimmy Valiant's last year to get retrained, you know, because for a while I wasn't wrestling at all. Actually, in 2016, I walked away from the ring, not thinking I would ever come back. Because I was getting injuries, very bad injuries and reoccurring injuries that I was getting from when I was a firefighter. Actually, I had a horrible injury when I was a firefighter that ended my firefighting career. So I was able to get stronger, and you know, this opportunity came maybe around 2020-ish. So in all, I've been probably training for a couple of years just to fine-tune everything. Hardest part isn't necessarily the physical, it's more of the mental. Because as Gary says, there's a whole line of people that just like to talk smack. And that's the one thing that me and Gary are also trying to stop. Him and I relaunched a promotion that I had a long time ago, Veteran Pro Wrestling. And that was founded by a group of first responders and veterans. Back in, originally it was 2012, but we ran regularly in 2014 in the Connecticut area. So we're relaunching that, and we're going to have a show in Florida now for them.
September
So,
6th,
yep, September
the
6th,
VFW.
BFW.
Oh, that's incredible. That is
One
incredible.
more person I forgot to mention. I'm sorry. Her name was is Susan Tex Green. Susan Tex Green was the first person to train me, and it was in Tully Blanchard's father's old ring, Joe Blanchard, and that thing is as stiff as stiff can be. And she's one tough human being. She was originally trained by like Danny Hodge, Olympic gold medalist, and she knows how to shoot. And she's a phenomenally gifted individual. And she actually took Moolah's belt in a shoot match.
Took it.
Hooked her, and that was it, man. She was done. And it was because Moolah slapped her in the face, and she's like, "That's not going to happen today." And grabbed her and put her in what's called a Indian deathlock submission and forced her to tap out in front of everyone. And
Wow.
still got to work afterwards, stood up for herself.
Also, she's the only girl, the only female wrestler that Ric Flair ever tugged with.
Well, no, yeah, she but Flair would book her on major tours. Like they would go to I think there's a story about her going to Fiji and a few other areas too, and he always selected her to go up there, and he had a lot of respect for her. So yeah, and as does everyone else too. Everyone, Rockin' Robin knows Susan very well. Actually, Rockin' Robin had her first match with Susan Tex Green, and Susan Tex Green trained Leilani Kai.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of history right there.
Yeah. She's the co-founder of the Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame, as is me and Gary. And she's it would be a lovely interview for you to have on your show.
And I'd absolutely love that. And I was actually going to bring the Tag Team Hall of Fame and the Women's Hall of Fame up that you guys are also both part of. I'm a huge tag team fan.
Oh, cool.
I know that in one-on-one matches, you're telling a story. And it was Buff Bagwell, when I interviewed him, said that he absolutely loves tag team matches because there's more story into the match, because now you don't just have three people, you have five people, and there's a lot more going on in a tag match. I personally love tag team matches because when you get a tag team that looks like a tag team, that works like a tag team, the communication with promos sounds like a tag team, you got a tag team. And I wanted to ask the both of you, what are your thoughts on the current state in major promotions when it comes to tag teams?
Gary, you want to go on this one first, Jim?
Yeah, I'll be happy to. They don't want tag teams. Okay. I remember back in the 80s when I was in Vince's work for Vince, there was hundreds of tag teams. You know what I mean? Tag teams were everywhere. I mean, from the Road Warriors, Demolition, I could go on for hours. But at that point, Vince was like, I'm paying for four guys instead of two guys. So I'll get rid of it. Tag team, I'm a tag team specialist, even though I can still wrestle singles. And I love psychology. And that's what the biggest thing about this business is psychology. And if you can get four guys together that know how to work, we could put a match on if we all know psychology, we could put an hour match on without even, just give me the finish. You know what I'm saying? I don't even need to discuss it. We're all trained and we've been trained, Like, I don't look at a tag team like, I'll give you an example. The Road Warriors, they clicked. They looked like each other. The Steiners looked like each other.
Public enemy.
Even the Young Bucks, I mean, they may be small, but when I look at a tag team, I like to see how they think. Like, if you watch the Pit Bulls, you'll see both of us go in the ring at the same time. Both of us are doing some kind of power move at the same time. We're clicking when we tag. We're getting back in the ring, like perfect timing. That tells me what a good tag team is. You know what I mean? So I'm very picky when it comes to tag teams. The thing I don't like about what's going on now is they're just getting people, two different people, and just putting them together and say, go ahead and tag up. And me and Anthony had, I mean, years and years of practice. A lot of practice with tagging up. We didn't really think we were going to be a tag team at first. It never even came to mind until Larry Sharp was like, why don't you guys tag up against these two guys? I just want to look at you. And that's what he did. And he was like, man, you guys are good together. And we were only 9 8. Shit, it was 1988, 87. I was very young, 19, between 18 and 19, just graduated, So it was like, but that's the difference, I think, from back in the day. They were teams that were together for years, and then they would be on WWF or WCW. But nowadays, they just get two guys that are separate wrestlers and put them together and say, tag up. That's what I don't like. Because there's not, like I said, there's no fluency, there's no momentum, no movement, no storytelling, no good tag spots. Like, one thing I'll tell you a secret. What we do, the Pit Bulls, every time we wrestle, we will come up with a brand new tag spot that we use. And that's how we did it. So we would never run out of moves because we had so many. And they just burned in our brain and we knew them. Just by looking at each other saying one word, I could tell Anthony and he would know exactly what I was talking about.
Oh, you guys were a phenomenal tag team. And one thing that Chris, that you had brought up earlier, is criticism that trying to stop. So, Chris, how welcoming have fans been? Have ECW originals been? And on interviews, how have those interviewing you, how have they been with the role of Pitbull number three?
Very respectful, actually. It's the fans that are very, very kind. I love the fans. I have been got given a lot of support from the ECW originals, such as I'll mention a few, if it's okay. Shane Douglas has been very supportive. Nunzio has been very, very supportive. Everyone from ECW has been kind, you know. And I was blown back because I even approached them like, you know, I'm doing this, but you know, I just want you to know, I know I'm not you guys, and I can't be you guys. You guys are ECW. I'm not. And I think they understood that because I'm not trying to replace Anthony in any way. You know, Anthony is his own person. I can't be him. We're similar with certain things, but different in other things. And I always use this metaphor. It's like, you know, I don't want to take something like, say, you have a chance to replace George Harrison. You'll never be George Harrison. George Harrison's always going to be George Harrison for the Beatles, okay? You're going to do your own thing. You'll play the same solos as George Harrison, but it's not going to be the same. But that's the other thing, too. I don't want to do that either. But in the same token, though, our biggest thing is we have to preserve Anthony's memory because without Anthony, there would be no Pitbulls. And that's why we wear the number two on our collars of our vests. To remind people that. It's also why we walk out with his flag in every match. Even when we first started with this journey, how we felt it out was I would walk Gary out to the ring carrying Anthony's flag. I got to walk out to the ring twice at the ECW Arena for Battleground Wrestling, I believe, for the ECW Arena shows, reunion shows, sorry. And, you know, I can't be any more thankful. The people that are negative are the people I feel that don't ha that have a lot of time on their hands. Okay, so
I mean,
obviously.
tell them, Chris, how you actually found Ciro, which is Anthony's brother, and introduced yourself to him, went to his business.
Yeah, I even went to visit Anthony's brother before any of this started, and I let him know what was happening, and I told him I wanted to do this out of respect for his brother, and I think that helped in some ways. But to answer your question about people that are haters and stuff, and the only negative feedback I get is from people that unfortunately have not much else better to do, and I always consider the source when somebody's negative. And a lot of these people, which is not many, they unfortunately maybe don't have positive lives, and I actually feel bad for them because, you know, if all they have today to do is to talk negatively on someone, then that's all they have in life. But so far the welcoming has been very kind, you know, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback from
You got to
it.
understand, ECW guys, you know, when we say brother to each other, it's really that brother. They're family. You know, we just lost Sabu. I was with him Saturday night.
We both were, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was hanging out at the hotel with him outside. I pull up and he's sitting outside. I didn't even know it was him at first because I just glanced. When I got out of the car, he was him. I was like, "Yo, Savvy, what are you doing?" So I hung out with him all night for at least 3 hours Saturday night, and he even supported it, Christopher. He was very happy. You know, he was happy on the decision I made and who I picked. You know, and that's okay with me because I asked him honestly. Me and Sabu were really tight and good friends. It's just a shame that we lost him so soon.
I
But
didn't know that.
and it also shows the respect to Chris going to Anthony's brother, more or less to not only ask for permission, how I like to say it, But the respect factor, you know what I'm saying, was
Yeah.
there.
Well, I applaud the both of you and thank the both of you as a fan of tag team wrestling, as a fan of ECW, to bring back the Pit Bulls and for fans to get to relive that one last time, even though it's Pit Bull 3 and Anthony is no longer with us. So as a fan, thank you for that. I truly appreciate that.
Also, real quick, I forgot a very important
Okay.
thing. We have a manager.
Yeah.
And she managed us back when we had the USA NWA tag titles. And that's the great First Lady of Wrestling, Missy Hyatt.
Women's Wrestling
Yes.
Hall of Fame inductee as well.
Yes, Missy Hyatt. And I believe you also have Angel, who's part of your group as well, correct?
Orsini,
Yeah.
yes. Angel
Yeah.
Orsini.
Yes.
See, when if we have to do a six man, or I call us, that's when we all become the Mad Dogs of War. You know what I mean? I have my Mad Dogs of War. I have them all over the place. You know what I'm saying? I have a three, okay, which is Chris. I have an alpha dog, which is Angel. You know, if I need a gangster dog, I call Mustafa. He's in California. You see what I'm saying? So that's
Yeah.
how it kind of works. You know, if I need somebody, or if I'm in Tennessee, I'll call Kid Cash because he's my boy. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
we're the Mad Dogs of War. And if it comes down to a four-way, I'm prepared. I have the Dogs of War. It's like the free bird fucking rules, brother. Chris will
Yeah.
explain
Love the
it.
Free Birds, man. And that's also why we established the Tag Team Hall of Fame, because people forget how important tag teams are with story. I mean, not only it's its own separate sport in a way, in many ways, right? So, the Kangaroos, the Freebirds, the Killer Bees, those were great, those are great tag teams.
And the Pit Bulls were in the ring. I mean, I've wrestled Bam Bam Gordon, okay? I've wrestled Dr. Death. You know, so we've been there, as Chris continues.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is that we have to understand is while we're doing this journey, it's we're trying to also preserve history. Because every generation has its own take on pro wrestling, but unfortunately, I feel as though this generation here neglects tag teams. They're slowly coming back. In their own way, but they forget about Demolition. They forget about the Hart Foundation. They forget about the Rougeaus, guys like that made tag teams amazing,
British Bulldogs.
British Bulldogs. Yeah. So, this whole journey is more meant for preserving history. We're big fans of the Cauliflower Alley Club and what they do, especially with the historians that they work with, like Tom Burke. God, there's so many.
And that's Brian Blair out of Florida. So
Yeah.
we, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we stay tight with them, and we definitely respect that.
Yeah. So that's those. We support a lot of organizations too. We're trying to help also the autistic community. With what we're doing with Veterans Pro and across the board too. We're trying to help women's rights and the preservation of women's wrestling as well. When Gary and I started this with the Women's Wrestling Hall of Fame, we did the first inaugural induction at the ECW Arena. What better place? Because it's a historical place. And we inducted Jazz, who deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Medusa, and then we also inducted Luna, who deserves more credit than she's been ever been given. She needs more credit. People forget about how important Luna was. Luna
David
Vachon.
actually accepted that in her
Yeah.
behalf.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Gangrel. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
yeah. I
See,
absolutely agree
more
with
or
you.
less, we got tired of seeing. That's why we started the Tag Team Hall of Fame. You know, just like we started the Women's Hall of Fame. You know, it's like Look, the way it's going now, you got to face the facts. The women and the men, they're equal now in the business. Back in the day, I remember being in a locker room with
Jerry.
Mae Young, and what's her, and Moolah. I mean, I wrestled them. I mean, that's how many years I've been in the business, but it's like they were the only two females besides Medusa that, and Missy Hyatt here and there, that I would see in the business. Even when I would wrestle, I would, like I said, it was just, now I go to a show, you're going to see one or two matches easy with girls.
And Sensational Sherry, man, too, man. That
Oh,
Sensational Sherry
yeah.
was an all. See, that's the thing. Was Sherry was a great manager, phenomenal in-ring talent. I
Great
mean,
work worker.
for her to be a AWA champion, WWF champion, and in every single major wrestling promotion, like her and Missy Hyatt, every single major pro wrestling promotion they were in. And not many people can do that in wrestling at all. Doesn't matter what gender. Those two women did that. Hats off
Yeah,
to both Missy
absolutely.
Hyatt, Sherry
Well,
Martel. Yeah.
don't forget Nancy, woman.
Oh yeah,
Woman,
Nancy
yeah.
Dubois. Yeah. Future inductee. We'll definitely induct her in. Yeah, we got a lot of great things going on. And we're learning too. So like the first year we discovered Cora Livingston. You know, Cora Livingston was the first ever female champion ever. She was out of Massachusetts, and I think it was I forgot the promoter's name, but she was the first ever to be a women's champion. And she held it for, I believe, several years. And that was the start for someone like, Mildred Burke. Everything comes from something.
I'm no relations to the Wolf of back then, just so you know. I'm Gary Wolf now, but I'm not related to that Wolf.
No, he's not related to Billy Wolf. No.
You learn something new every day, and you just taught me a lot there, Chris. I love tag teams. I love wrestling history. So the fact that you guys are trying to also preserve women's wrestling history, tag team history, it's phenomenal. And I'm going to have all the links and everything in the
Sure.
description. There's even going to be links appearing, down below us and everything like that. Gary, when did you know that you were going to ask Chris or present it to Chris to be Pitbull number three?
I just talked to him for a while, a couple years, right, Chris?
Honestly, I think it was I don't know. Tell me if this was right. So what happened was a while ago, I was going through some medical stuff, I went down to Florida to go see my mom, and then Gary's like, you want to go to the gym together, so him and I went to the gym together with Candace, and it'd been a while since I was in the gym, and he's like, "Well, what are you doing today?" I'm like, "I think I'm going to do arms." So that was like the safest thing to do because I didn't know what I was doing. I think it was when I was it when I was curling the. You tell the story because
Here's,
I.
he walked up to the rack. Well, this is the first time I met him. Maybe we'll just go back a little bit, okay? About 2 years. I met him in New York, Queens, New York.
That's right.
He was with Angel Orsini.
Yep, we're seeing it.
Okay. And they're filming a documentary. So I happened to be there. I met Chris that night, and I seen her. I was talking to her, and he was a very nice guy. I got along with him. He wasn't really, I didn't know if he was in the business or not, I'll be perfectly honest with you. But I liked his look. He's a big dude. He's like, he's almost 300 pounds, and that's all muscle, man. Okay. So I'm just like, what the hell, man? This guy, so one thing led to another, and next thing he ends up, we're talking on the phone all the time. And we're just shooting the shit, and then I would even probably I've told him a couple times that this guy wanted to tag with me and that guy wanted to tag with me, and I would be bitching at him about it and saying, they won't leave me alone, or they're not what I'm looking for. But like I said, he was starting to say he came down to Florida because his mom's about 45 minutes from here, so he was able to.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Prenuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
He stayed over there, so he was like, "Let's work out." I said, "I want to come and I want because I know he's a power lifter and he's very strong." So I said, "I wanted to just go to the gym and train. I just want to, see how you train." In my mind, I'm thinking I can learn something from him. He's a power lifter and strong man guy. He just walked up to 90-pound dumbbells and just picked them up and just went wham, wham, like they were 25 pounders, and I'm just like, holy shit. I said, are they heavy? And he said, no, not really. very, very, not bragging about it or not being, being very humble about it. That's how he said it. And I was like, okay. And then I seen him do a couple things in the ring. And then I just started noticing the
Similarity.
similarity of the situation where, I had people, if I was with him, I had people walking by saying, "Yo, Pitbull, what's up?" and then doing a double take.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And it was like they thought that he was Anthony.
There was one. There was one famous one. What's her name? Mickey James. He's like, hey, my friend Richie said, hey, Mickey, this is my good friend Richie Sorrentino. He said, it's my good friend Chris. And Mickey looked at me as if I thought I did something wrong, like I messed up in some way, right? She looked at me and she gave me this like really weird handshake, like, good to meet you. I'm like, okay. And then even Richie was like, what happened? And like, I don't know. So then I went to Gary and I'm like, Gary. He's like, what's up? I said, why is Mickey James looking at me so weird? Did I do anything? And she's like, oh no, you look like Anthony. And she knew him. I'm like, oh, okay. That's when I started to realize it too, because I didn't purposely try to look like Anthony. I just kind of just looked like him.
That is a incredible story right there. That's pretty wild right there. You do resemble Anthony. I can see it, and I've watched YouTube clips of you guys and stuff, and I see it. I can see it.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah.
That is a really, really good story right there. Thank you for sharing that, actually. I appreciate
Sure,
that.
sure.
I'm
It was just what
bouncing.
I was looking for, when it comes down to it. You know what I mean? It's like I like the gimmick of one guy with hair and one guy with no hair. What's the difference? You know what I mean? One's a power guy, one's a speed guy. You know what I'm saying? There's two different, we got quickness, agility, and strength. That's what makes a great tag team.
Stamina, yeah, and stamina, yeah.
And you have to be thinking what we're thinking. Chris ain't there yet, but he'll be there, guaranteed. He'll tell you he's been to my school. I've had three wrestling schools. A lot of guys been through my school. The Briscoes, the SATs. I can go on and on. All money's
Johnny
legal.
Cashmere.
Johnny Cashmere, there's Backseat Boys. I trained some incredible tag teams. Eddie Kingston used to come to my school. A lot of guys from Philly that came out of that area. I remember when Christopher Daniels was a little guy, baby, young. Cesaro, He actually had hair at that time. Real
Yeah.
tall guy with a ponytail. I remember walking into my school. He was going to Chikara school. Okay. So he was taking bumps out of the ring without hooking the rope. And I just went off, you know, because I'm old school. I came out of the Monster Factory. I'm like, bro, you got to hook the rope or you're going to break your neck. It's one or the other. You know what I mean? And then I didn't later on, I had somebody say, that's Cesaro now. And I'm just like, no shit, man. Because he's a very powerful, strong guy from Sweden. You know what I mean? I didn't realize it.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. That is
You know, and Moxley's another guy that went to Philly and did Combat Zone. See, most of my students went to Combat Zone Wrestling and did the crazy shit and Ring of Honor. You know what I'm saying? And that's no problem. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure if Trent Acid didn't have that bad accident, the backseats boys would have been in WWF.
They were a great team. I'm bouncing around a little bit. Gary, you had brought up, Vince McMahon working the WWF a little bit. And I'd watched your matches, British Bulldogs, Twin Towers, Warlord, Barbarian, which were some of those matches were around my area. I'm in upstate New York. I'm talking like Binghamton, New York, and those areas where you had some of those matches. Was there any talk of WWF signing you back in 88?
Yeah, they were going to sign us probably in 90. What happened was we were working, even though we were still going to wrestling school, we end up working for WWF at back in the day. 88, 89, okay, you know, end of 87. We would start being like, they came down, they saw us, Cowboy Bob Orton, and they said, they told Larry, send these guys up to Niagara Falls. So we drove the 8 hours from Philly, went to Niagara Falls, and we wrestled that weekend. So they gave us a Friday and a Saturday. And they paid us $150 a night plus per diem, and they took care of our hotel. So it was a learning experience. I mean, I was going to the big leagues, brother. Not an independent show. I'm talking the big leagues to learn my trade. You know what I'm saying? And see what happens. And we were very, very, I mean, our first night, bro, was against the British Bulldogs. You know, and that's all it took. Gorilla Monsoon is a Jersey guy. He lived in Cherry Hill. We're from Hamilton. It's a 25-minute, 20-minute ride, bro. So Gorilla's tapping Vince on the leg. You got to sign these guys. They're 19 years old. Look at the size of them at 19. You know, we made the Hardy Boys. Hardy Boys were like this pen. That's how skinny they were. Because when we left South Atlantic in North Carolina, that's what happened. They sent us right off the bat. They told Larry they can go to Portland, Oregon, Portland, where it rains every day, or North Carolina, Charlotte. It's their decision. And we said Charlotte. So we went to work for South Atlantic, which was 6 nights a week. So you got to realize the Pit Bulls were very lucky. Not many people know this. We worked for Jeff Jarrett 6 nights a week. We did that territory. We did Jerry the King Lawler's territory 6 nights a week, sometimes seven. You know, so we were lucky again to get South Atlantic. You know, we got guys like Vince Torelli, who was Ken Shamrock, Tatanka, who was Chris Chavis. You know, we had Ricky Steamboat there, Ric Flair, we would be with almost every night hanging out with when he was home. You know, so they sent us there to work 6 nights a week to go to work for Vince McMahon. But what happened was South Atlantic was so over, Japan wanted to send their guys there. So New Japan Pro Wrestling was doing business with South Atlantic Pro Wrestling. So that means the Fantastics would come in, the Malenko brothers would come in, Dean and Joe, you know. So all these guys, the Canadian, the Strike Force, that tag team with Doug Furness and Lafont would come in. Come to find out, I didn't even know these guys. I mean, I met the Fantastics before because I used to wrestle them in the Rock and Roll Express all the time on Thanksgiving. But they were coming in and then going back and reporting at the New Japan Pro Wrestling. We had no idea. So one night we were at a show and there's a Japanese guy standing there and it's Tokyo Joe. And he pulled us aside and said, "Look, I've been watching you. People been giving me, give me some the gist of what you guys are doing. I wanted to come and see you." I didn't know he had his own wrestling school. So I wasn't even informed of that. I had no idea. That's how green I was. But he looked at us and said, "Look, this is what I need. I like your look. I like everything, but I need more suplexes, more viciousness." So that's why the Pit Bulls wrestle the way we wrestle. We've never changed our style. We can adapt to Japanese, luchador, any style you have, we can adapt to. That's what made us a special tag team, So doing that and working with all those different people, Joe just said, "Look, I want to sign you guys." South Atlantic closed. We went back to Philadelphia. Next thing you know, my phone rang. And it was Tokyo Joe, and he said, "I'm going to come to the city. I'm going to meet you in Philadelphia." So he met us in Philly. He wanted to give us a contract. It wasn't a huge contract. It was like a month contract, the first one. And he's like, "This is what I'm going to start you on. This is the salary you guys are going to start making, and then we'll go on from there." So I brought that with me when I went to talk to Vince. So me and Vince had a little sit down and. At the time, I asked Vince if can you match this? Is that okay? Can you match this price? Because I know guys that were working over there still haven't been to Japan yet. Okay, it sometimes I mean we made it to Japan in 2 years, bro. That's all it took the Pit Bulls to get to Japan, 2 years. Some guys will never go to Japan unless WWF or AEW took them to Japan. Do you see what I'm saying? So going to Japan's a special thing. So Vince didn't want to pay us what we were going to get paid in Japan. And Gorilla Monsoon pulled me aside. And Kevin Sullivan is a very good friend of mine. I've known him for 40 years since I've been in the business. Actually, I know him a year before I got in the business. And he even told me, he's like, "Listen, go to Japan. Some of these guys can't. Today, people fly themselves to Japan to wrestle. Okay, that's how they mark out so bad." So he's like, "Go to Japan, get the experience, come back. You're gonna be worth more money. Plus, you're learning another style of tag team wrestling, which is amazing, strong style." So that's what happened. I mean, I think back now, maybe I should have said okay to Vince, did a year with Vince, and then went to Japan, but. Once I got an ECW, I signed an ECW deal and I had a New Japan deal. And I was going over with Sabu, Chris Benoit, Jericho, the Public Enemy, all them guys,
Vader.
that were already going to Japan. You know what I'm saying? Paul Lee was okay with that. You can go work for a month and come back. We're good.
Yeah. And speaking of New Japan, Gary, I had heard in an interview you talk about your first time in Japan and believing that Owen Hart was on one of the tours with you. Did you ever wish you got to wrestle Owen?
I worked out with Owen in the ring and just to learn. I mean, every time I wrestle, I learn something new. I don't know everything. You know what I mean? And you never will. I always tell, I drill that in Chris's head. That's why I tell him to wrestle as much as he can now and wrestle different people because nobody's the same. When our first match, I would say our first real good match was us and the British Bulldogs, and that was in New Zealand. And we just so happened to be lucky that Kevin Sullivan introduced us to King Curtis and Don Morocco and Jimmy Snuka, and my girl's aunt actually married Jimmy later, got us in New Zealand and got us on all them tours because we got to work the Bulldogs, we got to work the Guerrero brothers. We got to work the bushwhackers that were the sheep herders at that time. You know what I'm saying? Hardcore, you know? And we're in front of 55,000 people. You know, and the Bulldogs, they gave us our initiation. You know, even though they beat the shit out of us up in Vince when we would go up there and work with them, we didn't complain. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Chris knows this. Million Dollar Man made me shit my pants. That's how hard he clotheslined me across my face.
It was
But
that,
did
and it
I
was
complain?
also Jim Neidhart too.
Oh, Jim the Anvil hit me so hard. I remember my feet. I was looking at my feet and I was like in the Matrix, man. It was amazing. Like a forearm to the chest, he put me airborne. I was like 200, over 200 pounds. So it was, you know, going on tour and working with all those other guys, especially for 2 weeks, you know, that was experience. You know, the first night, Larry Sharp went across the hall in their locker room to get the finish and came back. And I said, "What's the finish?" And he looked at us with his head and his face was all red. And he's like, "Dynamite's pissed off, bro. There ain't no finish. Get ready to do 45 minutes and they're going to call it out there." And I'm looking at Anthony. We're like 19, 20 years old. Huh? You know, we're like, "What? Okay." You know, we've been in the locker room with Stan Hansen and Terry Funk. I said, we learned from them. We learned what they said. I was in the locker room. We were in the locker room with Ric Flair and Abdullah Butcher. That's another time we, you know, they told us don't go in the ring. You're gonna hold our jewelry. And we did, you know, because we got over with those guys. But, you know, I looked at Anthony and said, you know, we flew 33 hours. We gotta go out there, man. We get, you know, let's fucking go. Fuck it. You know, and Davey Boy and Dynamite, you know, they were big cats, man. We were young. We had some size and we could fight, but we were young. And we went out there and did what we had to do. And I remember I got up the next morning. It was a great pop. We had a great end of the match. We did everything they said. We listened. And I ran across the hall and I thought it was Larry's room. It wasn't Larry's room. It was the Bulldog's room. So I left Anthony in the bed. I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna get my ass kicked now. You know, Davey and Dynamite are already looking at me and they're already drinking. It's 11 a.m. New Zealand time. And they're like, get your fucking ass in here. And they both are hugging me and they're like, you motherfuckers kicked ass last night. You didn't bitch, you didn't say nothing. Get your partner up right fucking now and get in here and have a drink with us. And that's what we did. And I had 2 weeks with them guys was great. I mean, I learned going to school is one thing. When you wrestle somebody that's better, it's another thing. It's two different things, bro. And I always say this, man, when you wrestle somebody, you learn a lot more. And no lie, man. Of course, they're going to talk when they get back. When they got back to WWE's locker room, what do you think the first thing the guys were like, all right, you work those Pitbull guys. The Samoans have been talking about them. Is it true? Are they cool? And he's like, they put us over. And that's how we got over, bro. You
Oh,
know,
that's
that's how we
awesome.
got everybody's respect, you know, because we're old school. To this day, I shake everybody's hand in the locker room, look at them dead in the eye. And I always go to the main event and say thank you for the house. Because that's what I was taught. You
Yeah.
know, some guys don't do that, man. I see some of these new guys walking by. I'm sitting at a table. I'm like, dude, you know, you can't lace my fucking boots. I don't care how over you are now. Let me get you in the ring and I'll embarrass you. You know, but
Right.
that's today's generation, you know, is different than when I broke in, you know.
Oh yeah, it's totally different. I constantly hear about the AEW locker room actually, where everyone's kind of separated and you know it's not like welcoming or homey if you would, you know, as opposed to walking in other locker rooms.
Yeah, you have no idea, bro. Trust me.
I mean, I know people that work there personally, and they told me to. I mean, and
It's bad.
the things they told me,
Bad.
I honestly was in shock, to be honest.
Oh, I believe.
I honestly, me and Gary have been looking at NWA. We really like National Wrestling Alliance. I was invited to go to the Crockett Cup, and I was there, And oh my God, what an amazing dynamic back in the locker room, backstage. They got what they're doing, phenomenal things. I see good and positive things about the National Wrestling Alliance, and I wish more people focused on them than AEW, because honestly, it's the way it should be done. Old school way. They have great tag team division, got a great women's division, you got a great men's division with Tom Latimer as your National Wrestling Alliance heavyweight champion. You got Brian Idol as your TV champion. I mean, list goes on, man. And that's the thing. It gets overlooked, the really, really good promotions like National Wrestling Alliance and what Billy Corgan's trying to do.
Yeah, and we're going to have the NWA television title on our show September 6th. He'll be defending that.
I forgot. Yeah.
Oh, that's
September
awesome.
6th. Yep. It's going to be in Brooksville, Florida at
It's in
the.
Spring Hill, Florida, at the VFW, right off Anderson Snow. We're
Is
going to
the
have
Arrow fans?
one hell of a show, man.
Fans, you'll be able to, in that area, you'll be able to see the NWA TV champion, Brian Idol, defend his title. I love the NWA. I loved when they first came back with the whole studio setup. It gave for like as an old school fan such as myself, it gave such old school vibes. And tag team wrestling was a big part of that as well. And I absolutely love it. And speaking, going a little back with some history, I'm not going to talk Extreme Championship Wrestling, even though I have Eastern Championship Wrestling. Gary, I think you might know where I'm going with this. Tri-State Wrestling Alliance. You got to be part of the One and Done show, but you'd worked for the company in its early stages too. So, what was it like to be able to work with Joel Goodhart, who came in TWA, I believe, 89? And what was the
Yeah.
one and done show like for you?
It was actually
Well,
pretty cool as I got to see all the guys, Tony Stetson, Donnie Allen. Well, Donnie actually, he stayed around in ECW for a little bit. But like I said, it was like there were some guys I didn't even run into Hot Body. I wish I did, because I haven't seen him in a while. DC Drake. But they got what they had coming to them, which was being in the Hardcore Hall of Fame and being inducted into that in that Hardcore Hall of Fame. Because, I mean, between you and me, they're originals like I am, and they deserve to be up there,
Bay
so.
Ragni ran that too. Just heads up on that. Bay Ragni ran that, aka
Yeah.
Chubby Dudley.
Chubby Dudley,
Yes.
yes.
He did a very
Yeah.
good job running that with everyone. And it was good to see everyone. And Gary, you should tell them who you tagged with that night.
Oh yeah, I actually tugged. It was me and Shane Douglas, which was very odd in that building, right?
Yeah.
Versus Eddie Gilbert and Wildfire Tommy Rich. So we had a nice barn burner in the ECW arena, which was cool, old school,
No,
So
it's Eddie Gilbert's brother.
yeah, Doug.
Doug Gilbert, yeah.
Yeah, I used to go to Japan with Doug too back in the day.
Yeah.
So it was good seeing, some guys you haven't seen in a while. It was cool.
Since you teamed with Shane, and especially in the 2300 arena, that's a little for everything that gone down in there. And
It was cool.
I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit here because I'm bouncing around, but
Well, you got four. I gave you 30. I'm going to give you 4 more minutes. I gave you 30 extra, so
I'm
better get
sorry.
it out. Because,
Yeah, so when it came to the Halo incident, were you expecting the reaction that you guys got from the crowd that night? Because I mean, ECW fans are pretty desensitized to a lot of things based off, the extreme style of wrestling.
I'm going to put it this way to you. It's only happened 2 times in the business. Just twice. It's called white heat. That's what it's called, white heat. So next time you have us on our show, I will answer that question and tell you exactly what happened, how intense it was, how real. I mean, have you ever seen fans jump over a guardrail at a wrestling event?
Just once before when the ring went down.
I'm talking hundreds of fans trying to attack a person.
Yeah, not like that.
Okay, there was guys with helmets and sticks. They knew something. They didn't know something was going to happen. They weren't sure, but they wanted to be prepared. And thank God they were, because
Yeah.
nobody thought that he would grab me by my halo and throw me down like that.
Yeah, that was quite a moment. Guys, I want to thank you for coming on today. I want you both to take the time to plug upcoming shows, your social medias. The floor is yours.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yep. We got a an event coming up September 6th, and a few things just to mention on that. It's called Veteran Pro Wrestling. You can check us out online, www.veteranprowrestling.com. We're going to be having the first ever all military veteran faction, the Star Spangled Butt Kickers, Johnny Faith, U.S. Army veteran Noah Zarinsky, and Nick Quinones, aka Nick King of Battle. He's going to be on there. We're also going to be having Brian Idol for the NWA United States Championship. He's going to be defending that. The
The
Pit Bulls
TV
will,
title.
yeah,
TV title.
TV title. Sorry, the Pit Bulls will be going against the New Backseats NWA Tag Team, and I forgot the other person's name, but there's going to be a six-man AIWF championship on the line. We've just joined the AIW organization. And we have Jesse Neal, Navy veteran, who was on a ship that was actually sunk. He was in that ship. He's tagging up with us. Gary, let him know where it's at.
Yeah, so it's like right in, off of Spring Hill Drive, Anderson Snow. We're doing also doing work with the Marines down here, 708, the Guardians. So we're trying to give back as well as have a good show, you know. And there's not much to do here in Florida, so you know some people throw shows on. And I didn't know what a mud show was until I saw one, and then now I realize what it is. But we're not doing that here.
No.
This is top
And
notch.
Teal Piper will be going against Natalia Markova. So Rowdy Piper's daughter, Teal Piper, will be going against Natalia Markova. The first time ever match. Missy Hyatt will be managing us. The address.
Hello,
Oh, yeah. For that, too. Bill Alfonso's going to be there. Address is going to be Edward R. Noel Drive in Spring Hill. It's that VFW right there. And yeah, it's going to be a great time. The Real Drago is going to be there too from NWA. So it's a combination of NWA talent, ALW, Atomic League Wrestling will be there. We'll be also working with several other organizations, including Autism Speaks. Gary, maybe explain that a little bit.
yeah, we're going to be working. We work with autism also. And we always do charities with that autism. And then we got the Veterans Hall of Honor, which we're going to start. And what we do is we find that who's ever the highest ranking officer at that VFW, we award, we put them in a, we give them an award and put them in the Hall of Fame, you know. So
Yep, and
the
that, and
Veterans.
we're also inducting members of first responders in there as well. One for our inaugural class will be Big Boss Man. Lacey Trailer will accept on his behalf, and we're also doing a 50-for-50 raffle for Veterans Florida, which is a 501c3 nonprofit that helps place veterans in and helps train them in jobs. So that's a another thing we're trying to work with as well.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. So September 6, 2025, Spring Hill,
And
Florida.
then we'll be at the Marine Place, which is in Brooksville, January 24th. We already have that set.
Awesome. Fans, I will have all links and descriptions for you, especially for those who are local want to buy tickets. I want to thank the both of you for coming on the show today. I look forward to speaking with you guys again in the future. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember, spoiler free's the way to be. We're out.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.